Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and happy new year. It's 2023, I do believe. That's remind myself that. It's a positive start. It's only episode 2, Attack of the Clones. It's falling apart. It's happened immediately. Welcome. This is the Simcast. I'm Matt Hunter, and alongside me is Mr. Don Armand. Welcome back, Don.
Thank you very much for having me. Just to clarify, the noise that you may have heard just before I started speaking was, in fact, my door squeaking and not something else squeaking.
Your mice?
My fish. Thank you very much for having me here.
How is Merlin?
He's great. I just filled up some water, some fresh water today. I might put a little bit more in so he can expand his kingdom as he swims around the top of Machu Picchu. Actually, I lie. It's not Machu Picchu. It's that, like, it's the Mexican pyramid-looking thing that's like flat.
With stairs up it. I know the one. I only know what the capital. I know what the capital of that what used to be, and it was to not. I can't even pronounce.
Don't
it.
Don't worry, we won't get it between us.
Send us your thoughts on Mexican landmarks to @SimcastRadio on Twitter. I think it's also that on Instagram because Twitter might not be here tomorrow. Using the hashtag SimcastRSL, you can also contact us on the Radio Show Listeners Collective over on Meta, the Book of Face, whatever it's called these days. Always good. 2023 in the sim racing world has certainly gotten off into an interesting start. As we heard from last week's show, we are not going to dwell too much on just how embarrassing sim racing can be when it's put on a big screen in front of millions of people who don't normally watch it.
Let's dwell on that. That's interesting. Why would it be embarrassing?
Oh, well, you know. When
come on, let's go.
We've doubled down this week. Boy, oh boy. We have got a load of other bits of news and stuff, but okay. Okay, let's rip the Band-Aid off. So we've had the red mist and red flags event that was Le Mans Virtual a couple of weeks ago, where Max Verstappen, Formula One world champion, no matter what people say, basically described it as a clown show. And I found myself in agreement with him.
Oof. Oh, that hurts.
But it's fair.
I tell you what hurts, because it is really important from a non, like, I'm not in the weeds with sim racing like you are, like this is your life, right? Mm. And it is important that when things are on show, so like that sim racing one was, that event was, and the big, if you zoom out and you go to the whole scope of gaming and how you want the world, we need the world to take it seriously, and that it is a viable thing. I keep saying thing, and I've been told not to. how it is a viable avenue to go down to invest. We need businesses that are not in gaming to invest in gaming because they see the pull that it has. Yeah. So first of all, there would be millions of people watching it, so there's a pull. If there were millions of people watching it, great. What isn't good is you have the people that are legends, said legends, in that arena, even though it's not directly correlated or related to, saying things like that, which means that the event should have been run better. If there were going to be millions of people, that was the one opportunity right now that they had to go, this is sim racing, this is why you could take this more seriously than any other, and it didn't live up to it, which is a shame, because as for gamers on the whole, I think that was important.
Well, okay, so put your marketing hat on. If you were going to, or business hat on, two hats, either. If you were going to invest in either a sim racing team or a sim racing series, What would you, as a, in fact, it's perfect because you're not within sim racing, so you'd like, as you rightly say, you're naturally the sort of person, the sort of entity that you'd want to draw into it.
Yeah.
What would, with given the coverage and the such that it has, what would you be looking for?
Well, I suppose you'd have to have eyes on. So you look for coverage in terms of eyes on if it is a one-off event.
Hmm.
And that's where having a series might be one thing that would probably be more of a draw than one team. Unless that team had all your superstars in it, then you go for that one. But what I would look for is over a few events, over a couple of the, like, you know, we want to see how much draw do they have on the first one, how much draw do they have in the sixth one, how many people keep coming back, because that shows potential growth. And that's why the first one has to be good, the second one has to be even better, but you have to do them all with the last one in mind. So if you can get good, consistent numbers, first of all, if it was a brand new series and you're putting it out to the world and you're like, invest in us, and you get good numbers, that's a good sign because it shows consistency. Even if they're small, if they engage, like a big thing now, as you know, engagement is really important. So if you can somehow track engagement, which might be hours watched, amount of listeners that stayed on for longer than X amount of time, I think that's good. If you're looking at the team, I reckon you go series first and then you start to sponsor down on teams, or you get the smaller businesses to sponsor the teams, because a team can't make a series. Does that make sense?
Mm.
And at the moment, for me, from the outside, what makes it interesting is watching, say, when Jordan was racing a while ago, and it was the 12-hour one, whichever one it was, and you kept swapping in and you had the pit guys, like you had all those things going on. Like that was interesting. That was like four, that was like, there was no difference in that and me watching Formula One on TV, but it was very interactive. So like that's the end goal, that you want to get those people sponsored, because then it does become exactly like Formula One. But I didn't start watching Formula One just to watch Michael Schumacher. I started watching Formula One because it was racing cars, and you got to kind of follow the same structure that Formula One did, in my opinion. If I was investing, is you start up down, because then you have a sustainable kind of business model going. That's what I would look for.
See, for me, what I find really interesting is, so the series that we're talking about is Le Mans Virtual, which is obviously culminating in the Le Mans 24 Hours, but is preceded by a number of endurance races, much as the World Endurance Championship is in real life. One thing I like about bigger series, not just Formula One, but like MotoGP, the World Rally Championship, to a degree, some of the real endurance racing events, definitely something like British Touring Cars, is over the course of a season, good broadcasters have the ability to build a storyline.
Yeah.
So either they're interviewing same sort of people throughout the course of the season, and you're kind of intrinsically developing a story. So not in a over-the-top, drive to survive kind of way, but in a kind of proper journalistic sense that people can then pick on week in, week out. They don't do that with sim racing. You don't. It's like, if you know the people that are racing in certain teams, you'll probably follow them. But unless it's a really big name, like Max Verstappen, like, Lando Norris has done it a few times, a couple other people, Romain Grosjean, people like that. I can't imagine many of the big sim racing names are anything like household names, unless you know who they are. And I think that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. How did Michael Schumacher become famous to the world?
He's bloody good at what he did.
Yeah, but he was consistent, wasn't he?
So he was, yeah.
You know, people didn't, like, initially, people followed Formula One for X reason. They didn't follow because of Michael. But then it built up a big enough following that then the individuals started to become important because they were consistent winners. And then people wanted to see the winner fall off the podium.
Mm.
But yeah, I think what you said there is important, is you need a good broadcaster to build a story. And also, you said the big series like Le Mans. I don't know why I struggle with that.
Lemons is very different.
And then you also mentioned like 8 others with that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And do you not think that that might be the issue? Is if you're trying to get people to watch sim racing that aren't already watching, because like you are into it, so you'll know all the races and you'll love them, but you want to get everyone that loves racing to go over to sim racing, or people that don't know about it to go to sim racing. Having 50 events on is very overwhelming, isn't it? As opposed to like, this is the main series, this is what you watch. Otherwise, I suppose it would be the equivalent of going, come and watch Formula 1. By the way, tomorrow Formula 2's racing, then Formula 3's racing in the afternoon, and Formula 4. And then you start to judge the success of racing.
That's my day. That's my day sorted, mate.
Yeah, for you. But for me, I would be like, I'm not even going to start because there's just too many and I don't know which one's which.
I think with the thing is, motorsport is quite, not unique, but I think one of its benefits is because there are so many different categories therein, irrespective of number of wheels, position of engine, or anything like that. I think that it works on the theory that there's potentially something there for everyone. So, like, not everyone likes Formula One. Not everyone has the patience to sit. You would sit down and watch a 24-hour race. I mean, goodness me, you never get anything done.
Put some compression socks on for that.
I mean, it's a brilliant excuse to say why you haven't done any housework, you know. But works in this house because we both do it. But in a way, I think there's an element of, and funny enough, there was a conversation. Who was talking about? There's a couple of big names that were talking about it recently on social media, and basically saying, why is it so important for sim racing to mirror real motorsport so closely? Why don't they take the opportunity to try really different things, you know, and take these cars to places that in reality you'd never go to, you know? And I sort of think, well, in my head, there's two. Firstly, the reason why a lot of people go, certainly the reason I go sim racing, but a lot of people are the same, is because we're either frustrated real racing drivers, or we're so passionate about a particular category that we want to experience in our as best we can what those real drivers are experiencing.
I think you nailed it. You hit the nail on the head there. So my thoughts initially when you said it were, well, they've done that, Need for Speed. Look at the racing you do on that and the boosts you can put on. Rocket League, you know, let's take cars to where they can't. I know it probably is like, let's put more turbos on or whatever it is. And so it's still similar to racing, but just a bit more. But I think it is exactly that, is you want to watch the sport and go, oh, actually, that looks awesome. I've got a racing rig and I now can see pretty close to what it would be like to go around a real track. And actually, people love being able to sit and just do laps after laps, race their ghost cars, race after real people. Like, you let your imagination fly, become creative, and that's where the real joy is, I think.
I mean, I'm not saying that I've done a 3-hour race around Silverstone in a forklift truck, but I may have done.
Hey, that must be fun.
Not really.
Slow.
It's very slow, especially when you're racing against AI. I couldn't get anyone else who wanted to do it. Very disappointing. But, you know, and I think sim racing has this innate ability to want to replicate what we're all watching anyway, because that's the most obvious, most clear-cut thing that we can do. But, I mean, even the guys at Tora will know, you know, from back in history, we used to throw some brilliant random races together. You know, doing like transit van racing around the Nürburgring place, you know, things like that. And it's a lot of fun because, well, you're never going to do it in real life. Nobody is. That would be stupid. I actually think, if I remember correctly, Gran Turismo a couple of editions ago, you could actually, I don't think it was a race necessary, but you could drive the moon buggy on the moon.
In Gran Turismo.
Quite why you'd want to do that, I don't know.
Did not know that.
Because you can, I suppose. But yeah, I think there's so much focus at the minute on what is wrong with sim racing at the minute. There's always going to be people who cut corners, literally and figuratively. There's always going to be people that find loopholes. And there's always going to be big events that have very public meltdowns in terms of their servers and things like that. It's just the nature of the beast, I think. But I also think that people are starting to miss the point. I'm starting to think, I sort of think there's a lot of people who are taking it way too seriously, and they're starting to make it not fun.
Yeah, but that, I suppose that leads into the that generally will happen in when competitiveness kicks in, because you know why, if you, and that'll probably make the sport, if you know what I mean. Because if I'm just tuning in to watch you have fun, I have to really like you to stay. But if you take it competitive, like the human instinct kicks in, like you want to see battle and you want to see blood. That's the closer you're going to get to it. So
yeah,
I suppose it would be the same as if you were compared it to most other sports. You get the top league where it's like it's not fun. You don't like, you get paid a lot and you go there and you see people falling off the other side and they come off with those, I had mental health or issues here. I had mental health issues there. I just want to go back to where where I loved it. Whereas at the moment where you would say class yourself as you're just having fun, and that's probably most of the sim races. But in order for sim racing to be taken to the next level, if that's what happens, and I suppose as a community, you can't really stop that, because you can't just tell someone to stop taking it seriously. He's going to be like, no, this is, and he'll get someone else that's just as competitive. So it's almost letting them fly in their own league and not considering them to be. So you'd probably be like, those would be your Formula One drivers, and you're in Formula Four, but you love Formula Four. Like, that's where your thing is. And you wouldn't, I imagine you'd never look at someone in Formula Four, or if you were in Formula Four, and go, yeah, you know, the Formula One guys don't really represent me. I can't believe what they're doing. They'd just be like, yeah, I love Formula Four. That's my niche. That's my thing.
I mean, like, it's a really good example is we used to, in a previous life when I used to race a Toro, and we had the big GT, our big GT championships. And obviously, because of the number of people who were competing, they were split down into different lobbies. And invariably, I would be towards the back of those, which is fine.
Yeah.
And I tell you now, we had so much fun because we were there, we were racing. Yeah, we were racing. Yes, we were trying to beat each other, but we were there and having fun. And then you'd hear about what the guys were getting up to in the top lobby and the arguments and the sort of the, how you can't do that on, you can't pass me like that. That's not how it's done, blah, de blah. And you sort of think, people, chill your beans. Come on.
I know, but there's a learning element too. So some people need to learn that that's what the culture is, especially new people. And that's how you teach them.
I think it is really interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how this sort of element of, well, I'm going to call it motorsport, because sim racing increasingly is becoming an integral part of the wider motorsport calendar, develops. I sort of think there's part of me that kind of thinks it's developed faster than it should have done. I think. Yeah. Oh, God, the bingo card's going to come out for some people. It's a bit like rugby, where where the professional, obviously, the sport became professional, but it's sort of from the outside, obviously, very much from the outside. It's never quite looked like it's been managed in the same way as, say, professional football has been.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the issues you seem to hear about in professional rugby don't seem to happen at top flight football. Now, whether that's just because the money that's involved in football is just so much bigger and larger. Yeah. But you don't hear about it necessarily in France and in other regions, and I just sort of think it confuses me. It really confuses me. And I sort of think, with the sim racing side, all of a sudden everyone jumped, like through COVID, everyone jumped on the bang and went, oh, we've got to have a series so that we can keep pleasing our sponsors, we can keep are, you know, we could keep being seen on social media channels, yada, yada, yada. All of a sudden, there's money coming into it. There's big names coming into it. And you sort of think, but what about the rest of us who were here before?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I'll make no bones about it. My nose got put out of joint a few times with things that we were organising and had worked really hard at, and then someone came in, steamrolled it, and went, you know, you're not doing that anymore. And you kind of go, well, okay, I mean, because you're a big official series and you've got big, scary lawyers, and I don't really want to deal with that. Because I'm just here having fun.
Do they do that? You get that serious?
Oh, yeah.
Could you create a series that is no legal entities allowed? Or do you think that would be havoc?
I think it would be extremely difficult.
Okay. So very, I suppose, difficult. It's part of the fishing pond that you're in, really.
Yeah.
You come to a bigger fish and you hide away from him.
The thing is, we made what we made by working with these people, by saying, look, you know, this is what we're doing. Are you happy with it? Or this is a growing space. We think you should get involved in this, and having really open dialogues with them.
Yeah.
And there was just one or two, I'm not going to obviously name names without, they, you know, people who know. There was just one or two entities that kind of were not going to talk, that absolutely knew better than us, you know, and you just sort of think, fine, that's okay. You do what you want. But then when they turn around and go, oh, by the way, you're no longer allowed to do any of this because it infringes on our rights. You kind of go, well,
yeah, that's a bit.
You've come into my house, eaten my food, and now you're telling me I can't cook it again?
That's it. They've come into your house and claimed squatter rights, and you've got to move out.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a whole thing. Just quickly looking at what we actually have on the thing.
Yeah, don't forget to stay on task.
Oh, well, that'll be a first time for this show. Blimey. Right, quickly, let's look at some iRacing stuff before we get distracted again. just some quick little bits of news that I think because the American show dived into the quagmire that was Le Mans Virtual last week, a lot of things got missed out. But in amongst all the white noise of that, iRacing teased a new open wheeler to their service, which is the incredibly popular Formula Ford. This car is, I don't know if it races much in the US, but it's incredibly popular at club level in the UK. There are two Formula Ford festivals that take place towards the tail end of the year. We have the Formula Ford Festival at Brands Hatch every single year. And pretty much anyone who is anyone in motorsport will have raced in that at some point in their career. And then they have what's called the Walter Hayes, which is the big end-of-year bash at Silverstone, which is also Formula Ford, and usually the weather is appalling. It's also on my wedding anniversary.
Oh, I won't remember that.
Well, because we were meant to go on the day after our wedding. We were going to go to it. Suffice to say, we didn't.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what happened, but then we get sidetracked, so...
When you think you're supposed to wake up at about, ooh, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning to drive up to Silverstone the day after your wedding, that's not happening.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, that's just not happening. No. But a fantastic car. This will be a massively popular car in the UK. iRacing obviously has quite a wide range of UK circuits. It's a nice car because there's no aerodynamics on it. It's all about, I mean, the tyres are tiny as well. The suspension's really wide, so the chances of you flying over the car in front are pretty high as well. But if you think drivers like Jenson Button, Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher, Nigel Mansell, Nelson Piquet have all gone through Formula Ford. It is a founding step on anybody's route to major motorsport. So great to see it arriving at iRacing.
Do you think anyone would be able to create a mind map type structural diagram? And not necessarily mind map, maybe like, you know, like those organizational like flow charts that you start with one dot at the top, then you go down to two, then you go down to three, then you go down to, and they all spiderweb like a family tree.
Mm.
Do you think, and this is a random thought, and I'm sorry about this.
No, go for it. That's what someone
would be able to, create that type of diagram with all the sim racing series and events that go on, listing from the bottom to top in terms of priority or importance or audience pull.
Holy moly. Certainly from the top down, you could.
It'd be interesting to see, because you'd see what there'd be a very good zoomed out view of what's going on with esports, and
Yeah, it would soon get very political as well as who thinks of further up the chain.
I know, you could make it just you or your viewers.
I'd say if F1 esports thinks they're at the top, then no, you're not. Yeah,
well, that's your massive hook point for everyone. This is the diagram. These are the priorities, and the people that pull the most. That is it. And then just put that out there and see what the world does.
Anyone out there want to try it? Send us a message or send us your images to @SimCastRadio.
We can chat GPT it and see what comes up.
Oh, the AI thing. That was cool. I enjoyed that.
It didn't work.
Hey, it was getting the creative juices flowing though. So that's always always worth it. Another bit of iRacing news that came out, and well, I say this has come out. This has been coming out for a little while. Is that wet weather is coming sometime this year? We know not when. Just before the Daytona 24 Hours last weekend, there was a small update which suddenly put in the ability to select wet weather tires in your pit box. This was quickly then removed by another quick update. But it's good to know that they're kind of on the way to doing it. This is one of these very strange things, Dom, where people demand something because they don't have it. And then when they get it, they go, well, I don't want it now.
You always wonder what you can't have. Why did they remove it?
Because it's not ready yet.
Okay.
So what they're basically saying is they put in the ability to select the tires, but obviously you couldn't select the weather. And only a madman would drive around on wet weather tires in the dry. I mean, just a mad person.
I mean, if you wanted to win on wet weather tires in the dry, that would be quite a statement. Probably unrealistic too, so it wouldn't be like real racing.
I'm trying to think if anyone's done it. So I'm sure there's examples where people have won races on wet tires on a drying track, but probably not.
Yeah,
completely dry. It's purely down to grip and also the compound of the tire, which wet weather tires are so soft that they'll just fall apart and become slicks, but they won't be proper slicks. They'll be just mess. So it'd be like driving around on ice.
That would be exciting. Why does that intrigue me?
I have done the opposite. I have raced, this is in real life, I have raced on slick tires in the wet, which is a lot of fun. But because I'm of a size and therefore a mass that was actually beneficial to that situation, I didn't lose so much grip as the, shall we say, more lithe people that were taking part in that particular event. Sometimes it pays to be Donkey Kong. but yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's like, I know it's a thing that comes up in a lot of sim racing times. Everyone's like, I really want wet weather. Why haven't we got wet weather? Why aren't we racing with wet weather? Wet weather's in the game. Why can't we use it? And then as soon as you actually have a race with wet weather, everyone's like, oh, this is too difficult. never want to see it again. It's like, if you live in Britain, you kind of have to. Sorry, the county flower is mildew.
Would you like to be one of the developers trying to answer to everyone's requests?
No, I couldn't keep. I couldn't possibly stay cool enough. If I'm brutally honest, I was going, Can you do better than me?
You've learned the lesson by seeing what happens, and you just go, this is what it is, deal with it. If you don't like it, you can go and be competitive somewhere else.
I sort of think, you know how you have a lot of, should we say, you know, you get a lot of armchair referees and a lot of armchair race managers and, you know, the ilk.
No, I never heard of those.
No, no, I didn't think you had. You know, and I sort of think, I want, we have armchair developers, and you sort of think, if you think you're so good, why, how many games have you developed? You know?
Yeah, but people don't think like that, do they?
No, they don't, know. No. There's a lot of one thing I've noticed, and I don't know if this is just because I'm knocking on the door of 4.0, which is a terrifying thing, realization. That there's a lot of entitled people out there with very strong opinions of things.
Oh yeah. That's okay. I find them the most interesting to listen to.
I like it in the, I don't like zoos, so I don't know why I'm using that as an example, but I like it in the same way as I like watching animals at a distance. You sort of think, wow, that's,
I don't want to be there.
Yeah. I sort of think I want to put you right, but I feel like it won't better my day.
No, life's too short for that.
Exactly. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, so wet weather is coming to iRacing. We know not quite when, but hopefully very soon. Something tells me it's not going to run on a potato anymore. I think people might actually have to get a decent computer if they want to run.
You better start saving.
I mean, mine should have sounded big-headed. Yours will definitely do it. You've got a brilliant graphics card.
Well, a bit better. All the effort I've put into building this thing myself. Years. I tell you what, this is the secret to building a good PC, right? Don't do it all in one go, because you will realize how much it will cost and you won't do it.
I have to admit, it's one thing I love about PC gaming is that, unlike with consoles, you know, you buy the console and pretty much immediately it's out of date in terms of the graphics card that's in it, etc.
Yeah.
But at least when you've got your PC rig, the only limitations is pretty much the size of the stuff that you could fit in it, in my opinion.
And even then you just get a new case.
True. I mean that I was sort
there's
of
no
I
limitations have, just your mind.
I have got the tape measure out to work out if I could fit a 4080 in there in my current case. It will, but then there's like quantum mechanics of like, do I need a new motherboard and stuff like that that my brain just is not ready to deal with yet? I want someone cleverer and betterer than me to just come along and go, oh yes, you can put this in that with that. That's not a problem whatsoever.
I think there's plenty of people that can help. If you're listening now, please just get a hold of and then insert your plugs. That's fine. Mm. Your social plugs. Wow, that didn't come across well. Never mind.
Wow. Okay.
No. Edit that one out.
Do you want to right? Should we? This is kind of right. I cannot redeem posture on our thing because it's not a thing that we can't see it for a start. But
make the clicky sounds and then read it like a box.
That's just my back straightening. That's not me pressing anything. I have or rather Ben has found a chair.
Ooh.
A Porsche chair made in collaboration with Recaro. It's an office chair. It's called the Recaro, I'm going to call it by because it's the little tiny X, Recaro by Porsche gaming chair, limited edition. It's limited to 911 units because Porsche. And it was launched during the 2023 24 Hours of Le Mans Virtual. Of course it was. which was won by the Porsche Coanda team. Very convenient. There's no small way of putting this. It's a lot of money for a chair.
When you said Porsche, I immediately stopped smiling because I was like, I know it's going to be overpriced.
Oh, of course it is. What is the max for a good quality office chair type thing that you would sit at to game and stuff like that? What is the sort of top border that you would deem reasonable?
That I would?
Yes.
Right. I thought about this lots because obviously chairs are something I'd want to sell.
Exactly.
And this is how I'd do it. Unless who I am buying from has their own factory and their own design. And I know for a fact that I can't get it anywhere else. So I would pay probably around, I mean, I don't have this kind of money, but if I did, that would be, there is a company that already does it, like $1,500 to $3,000, anywhere between that. Because I know that they've done the research, they've done the science, and they are manufacturing according to weight bearing. The product is good, it's not going to fail, and it'll last you 30 years. That's what I would spend that money on. Anything else, and I think that there's probably only 4 factories in the whole world that create all the same chair with different branding, I won't spend more than £100 on the chair. And that's what I've got now. It was £75 off Amazon. Because they are all there and thereabouts the same with 1 or 2 changes here or there. And because they're all manufactured in the same 4 factories in the world. And that's kind of why we've slowed things down on our end, is because you're being just part of the masses and you're just creating more white noise for everyone.
Mm.
So I hope that answers your question.
Weirdly, it puts you right in the ballpark. Although, I think you were also right in your initial thing about it's Porsche, therefore it's overpriced. There's no other way about it. It's $2,500.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm looking at my GT Omega 1 over my shoulder, because I'm not sat at it, because that's Steph's chair. I can't possibly steal Steph's chair. I'm not seeing anything on there that says you're significantly more comfy than the one I've got here.
No.
Not £2,500. £2,500 would buy an entire race rig.
And that's probably way more. It's got a chair in it, doesn't it? Good posture in that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to hate it. When I get my rig set up, you're going to hate it because it's going to be a fixed bucket seat.
No. So I don't know if I said this last time, but the first I got on, and it was at Bristol, and they have a sim racing rig, and it has the 3 screens across the front, and then you strap in, and then the whole thing moves.
Yeah,
it's a Formula One. You go Formula One. I was so sick in the first 30 seconds of racing that I was honestly it was like motion sickness or something like that. I was sweating and everything, but I had to carry on. Yeah, it was so bad. It was probably like what would happen if you go VR and you play a really motion-y game.
Yeah,
for the first
yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, okay. In that respect, it won't be so bad because I won't have motion. Because, well, not on these floors. Jesus Christ, I'll end up downstairs. And it'll upset the neighbours. But yeah, I mean, what with you being at least 1.5 feet taller than me, I may have to make some adjustments. But...
And we'll be okay.
We're like driving a Mini. Yeah, no, that's a lot of money for a chair. I mean, we like finding these sort of things. We kind of like giggle at them a bit, but there will be people out there who buy... There'll be 911 people out there who buy this. They're just...
Oh, very good to do that. Do they release that? That would be clever if they only ever released any item in 911 bits.
Well, that there is only going to be 911 of those.
So good. No, I want one.
Now, Don, you wanting one and you being allowed to have one.
No, to be honest, it wouldn't be something I have to fly past Ray. It's something I have to fly past myself. If any big purchases are done, it's by Ray. I will not spend money on something like that.
That
I had to justify the computer because I stream on it and I had to be able to stream.
Yeah.
So that was a legitimate, and it was bit by bit. I think that's where I tricked myself.
I don't think you, I sort of, when I had my last setup, I was sort of totting up how much I spent on it. You kind of go over like, you know, a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
It does sort of sneak up on you a bit.
Yeah. You stop adding up after a bit and you're like, oh, it's somewhere in the ballpark. I know it's fine. I didn't even include my monitors in my pricing.
That's where I'm okay, because I only have one, but it is a very wide one. So it's basically two monitors.
I have three.
It's about the cost of three monitors. Actually, geez, I think this is, depending on the type of monitor, this is probably the cost of triples, actually. Oh, God. Anyway, we're trying not to dwell on that too much. We're going to sneak into a little bit of Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete, which is very convenient because obviously Don is here with us.
Great company.
There we go. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. All over at thegamingathlete.com. And join our Discord as well. Don's Discord, not our Discord, though I am on it.
No, it's ours. I'm so glad you said ours, not Don's. Yes. It's
everybody's.
Actually, just don't even go there for high-performing products. Just go there to be part of a really cool community and come and contribute to the
cool community.
Future of making a difference in our world.
It is a very cool community with lots of very inspiring, awesome people. So jump over and do get involved. We are going to talk about something that I didn't really know was a thing until I saw a trailer for it a few hours ago. Cards on the table. And it's called ESL R1. Now, ESL is a major esports organizer in the world. They do proper big, you know, I would say studio, not studio. What do I mean? Arena-based esports events for all manner of things. Fortnite, right, COD, things like that. And they have done esports before. I think they did Formula E once upon a time. And they're coming back with two seasons of what they're calling ESL R1, which is going to be based on the brand new, largely German-based racing title called Rennsport. It's going to be a mix of... This is where it gets interesting, because it's going to be a mix of in-person LAN events and online races.
Wow. My head doesn't even get around how they can... The timings and the response time and everything can... Yeah, I don't want, yeah, it's fine. I don't want to come off completely obtuse.
It's going to be a pretty awesome thing. So they're doing two seasons, one in spring and one in autumn. The spring one will consist of 9 rounds. The first two in-person races taking part at the IEM Expo at Katowice in Poland. Hopefully that's not terribly mispronounced. But each individual round will consist of 7 races and a knockout system similar to that that was tested at the Rennsport Summit in May. Quarterfinals, semifinals, and a final. Each race is of 20 minutes. Tire wear and fuel consumption are active. Good. But there are no pit stops. So, see our previous comments about racing on the wrong tires in certain weather conditions.
Yeah. There's no take me backs.
It's going to be interesting. It's genuinely going to be quite interesting. And so I think they've got 12 teams signed up for it so far, which we'll go into in a moment. The autumn season, the major event will be held at the DreamHack Winter event at, oh dear, Jönköping in Sweden on the 23rd and 20th to the 25th of November. That's a event where they currently do things like Fortnite, Rainbow Six, and Super Smash Brothers. I don't know what that is. Am I young? Is that why
Super
I don't know
Smash
what that
Brothers,
is?
Don't you know that?
No, I don't know what that is.
And finally, I'm in a position where I know something that you don't.
Go on.
That's amazing.
I'm not being funny. You know more about Rocket League than I do.
That's only because I had to play it. I had to learn to play it, and I wasn't very good. Super Smash Brothers is what can I equate it to? Do you remember Contra?
I do not remember Contra.
It was an old school game where you had two guys walking across a cliffside, and it was like a 2D or 1D game, and you side on view. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Super Smash Bros. Is a combination of like all of the different characters you could think of, like from Pokemon, cartoon characters. I'm doing a very bad job of describing this. And you can choose a character, and then you all fight on, say, a floating island.
Right.
But it's a side-on view. And then you have to knock each other off, and then you respawn, and you have, like, five lives.
Okay. So it's a bit
and Mario
like...
Brothers. Mario Brothers is on there.
I was just going to ask, with bear in mind it's called Super Smash Brothers, is Mario involved somehow?
Yes. And it's on Switch.
Okay.
It might have moved over to PlayStation. I don't see why it wouldn't, but that's where I first saw it, because Miles plays it.
Interesting. I mean, I know what Rocket League is, and I know what Halo is. I've played Halo a lot. What's CSGO? That's CSGO.
Isn't that Counter-Strike?
Oh, yeah, that looks about right. I don't know. This esports lark, it's all for the young people, you know.
No, it's not. We're gamers too. Don't let them take over.
But there are... So it's going to be in, you know... integrated into quite a substantial esports environment, which I think is actually a really good thing for it, because I think holding the I joke about it, but even I know that esports is a humongous business in terms of like Fortnite and things like that, and I know there's an incredible amount of money gets won doing these events and stuff, and the coverage and the participation is just phenomenal numbers. So having sim racing integrated into an event that's got those kind of things going on, I think will be a really, really good thing. It's interesting they've picked Rensport, because Rensport, nobody really, apart from influencers, nobody else has really played it yet, so we don't know what it's like. I've seen some videos, it looks okay, it looks quite interesting. Don't know. So interesting for all concerned as to how this looks, how it works as a multiplayer game and all these kind of things, but it's drawn some pretty interesting teams, certainly from the esports racing side, but also from esports, because we've got the usual people we see now, Apex Racing, friends of the show, BS Competition, running as the official BMW M team this time. Mercedes are entering two teams, one for Petronas Esports and one as one under Williams. Porsche Coanda, obviously, are going to be there. RA Esports and Team Redline. Is it even a sim race without Redline there? But what? There's also three actual esports entities, big names apparently: FaZe Clan, Furia, and I'm going to call it Mouz, M-O-U-Z. Mouse, maybe. They're German.
Mouse sounds good.
Mm. And they will be coming into sim racing for the very first time.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see how people that haven't got the background of sim racing come into it, and how they interact with it and how they get on. I think that'd be quite cool.
I guarantee that if I came to sim racing, I would, after the first lap, start to smash into other people, so and then get kicked out and not know the rules why. So that's
well,
that's
that probably... bodes that bodes well for if we ever do an endurance race, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Suddenly revealing my driver list
very quickly of the endurance race. I think the only thing that would. I remember going to play a Colin McRae rally in Eurasia Ghost Car. I said this last time. But that excited me because it was split-second stuff. And maybe that's where it evolves into the endurance racing.
Do you know why I think you wouldn't get bored of endurance racing?
Why?
Because each lap that you do, you're trying to better you. A bit like you said with the Ghost, you are trying to better yourself each lap.
What if you do a world record lap on the first one?
You won't.
Okay, we're at the third one.
But so better it.
I mean, Yeah, of course. That'd be the right mindset. But imagine, you know, you've got 50 laps ahead of you and you've just broken the world record by like 3 seconds. You know, in deep down inside you, you know you've done it. Like,
but then, okay, so say that you've done that, but say you are 10 minutes into a 2 hour stint. The guy who was in the car before you has got you into second place overall. The leader of the race is maybe, because of how pit stops have fallen, 50 seconds up the road. And third place is maybe 15, 20 seconds behind you.
Yeah, okay, so there's a team element to it. That's different.
Yeah. That is different. This is why a lot of people who don't, who've, when they sort of look at motorsport, and they're very aware of the solo driving experience. You know, Formula One, it's all about one person in the car, in one car, and who they drive. In rallying, it's about, okay, they've got the co-driver who's telling them, but in terms of the driver, it's one driver, one car, on the course. In touring cars, it's the same. In IndyCar, it's the same. But endurance racing, when you've got one car, but you've got up to four drivers in that car, the car has to be set up for four different types of driving style. All those drivers have to share a game plan as to how they're going to run that race, how best to get the car from the start to finish. What sort of lap times does each driver need to do in order to pass the car on to the next driver to then put them in a really good position for their stint? You know, there's so much, and way, 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 way more stuff than that. It's such a team-driven event that it's beyond just you in the car behind the wheel in the race. It's how am I doing for the team? How am I doing for the rest of my, the rest of the guys who are going to drive this car? How am I going to keep out of trouble? I don't want to take the car back damaged. I don't want to have to pit any more times than I need to pit, because it's going to mean that the next one in the car is going to have to go like hell to try and get back the time I've lost. You know, it's stuff like that.
I'm going to do a quick mental reframing there, Matt.
Go on, then.
So you've sold it to me. Obviously, I like the team element. That brings a whole new thing to it. But instead of going, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, we're going to have to make sure that we're thinking positive, right? We're thinking, 100%. I want to take the car back in great nick. I want to stay 2 seconds more ahead than what I got given. And I want to make sure I put myself in the best position for the team to do well. Boom.
Yeah. 100%. And I'd say, and this isn't just for you, Don, this is for everybody out there. I highly recommend, if you're new to the concept of endurance racing, and I know there'll be a lot of people who listen to this show who listen to the other content on Radio Show Limited and will know endurance racing inside out. But if you're new to the concept and you're new to the show, I cannot recommend enough the film Truth in 24. It is exceptionally good at putting across what it is like for drivers to race, to compete in an endurance race with the pressure of 24 hours of driving, and the pressure that comes with the other drivers, everybody at the factory, all the PR and all this, that, and the other, and obviously the conditions of the race, your competitors, what they're doing, incidents out on track, the works. It is a phenomenal film. It's just perfect. So there.
Can we repeat the name of it, please?
It is called Truth in 24.
Truth in 24. Okay.
Yeah. It is brilliant. But yeah, so I want to see who's in BS competition for this, because I've got a feeling that, yeah. So the team captain, this is how serious BMW, it's BMW really good, because BMW take their sim racing really seriously. They've taken it seriously for a number of years. when they first started doing the IMSA esports series back, I think in 2020 or 2021, they had their proper engineers providing setup work for the drivers for their cars. And it worked, and they were competing, and they were doing extremely well. What they've done for this, so BS Competition, which, say, friend of the show, they have a former DTM champion, Bruno Spengler, as their team manager. So...
Bruno who?
Bruno Spengler.
Great.
He is a phenomenal peddler. He knows his stuff. And he's also a real-world BMW driver. I can't remember if he's racing in the prototype or not this year, but he knows his stuff. So I mean, they're putting big names behind this. This is quite cool. This is quite something.
I like that. And you also use the lingo peddler. Does that mean he's a great driver?
He's a fast driver. Yes.
Nice. I like that. And learning
these things. These things fall in every so often.
Fall them in as much as you can. It's like when you go into a business world and they're using acronyms that you're pretending to understand, and suddenly they're speaking a different language you haven't even noticed.
I've been doing that. Slightly aside, I have been doing that at work, and I've been using all my lingo from previous pays. And you just see them like glaze over, and you kind of go, "I'm saying things that don't mean anything to you, aren't I?" Like, yeah. Can you? Yeah. Sorry. I can't think of who they got. So, Porsche have announced four of their drivers as well. And these are sim racing awesomeness. We have Mitchell De Jong, Mac Backham. I love that name. I just do. Dane Warren and Josh Rogers, all of whom have extensive experience racing for Porsche at the esports level. And that's a strong lineup. They are. These guys mean business, so that's really cool. It's good to see that this series is being taken very, very seriously, actually.
Could be the rise of sim racing.
Hopefully.
Happening right in front of your eyes.
Hopefully. And the thing is, it's like I said before, you know, some of these names that I've just said, they mean something to people who know, but what we need to do now is we need those names to mean something outside of this. You know, we need them to be big names generally. You know, it's like you said, I don't even think you necessarily need to be a motorsport fan to know the name Michael Schumacher or Nigel Mansell or Ayrton Senna. I don't think you don't need to know anything about motorsport, but there's a good chance you'd have heard those names.
Yeah.
I agree. I sort of think This is what I want for these guys. I want them to be as big as that one day, and I think they can. There's no reason why not.
Well, of course they will be. It's just it's just got to take a while. It might not be anyone racing right now. It could be someone in 5 years' time.
I think there's a lot of people out there who go, "Oh God, I'm not watching." In the last couple of minutes of the show, I'm going to make a very philosophical point. I had a bit of a back and forth with someone about when they were saying, "Oh, this sim racing is absolute nonsense. I wouldn't want to watch that." So I said, out of interest, do you watch real motorsport? Yes, of course I do. On television. Yeah. So you're watching cars on a screen going around a circuit, but you're not physically there, correct? Yeah. How is that different to watching digital cars on a screen going around a circuit? Well, it just is, was his response. And I was like, I was actually a little disappointed because I sort of thought...
come up with a proper answer.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting debate there because unless you're physically at the track watching physical cars going by, I don't think there is a difference.
I think but that's knowing what you know. So you got to realize anyone that's into sim racing knows inside and out and knows that it's not just a bot racing around a track. It's real people. And there's the pit talk and all the other stuff that goes along with it. Whereas when if I didn't know a little bit more, I'd watch Formula One. I know there's a real person in there. I know that someone's driving, you've got a team. So you know the ins and outs of Formula One just because they talk about it. But if you got that person to go sim racing exactly the same, they think that when they're watching a screen, it is just a bot driving a car. Why would you want to watch it? So they don't realize that there's a person actually driving it and that the process is identical to real life. And maybe that's where that information gap needs to be addressed. Yeah. And instead of advertising the series or the day or whatever, you advertise all the ins and outs of what goes on. And like, you know, you have three people that swap over or for endurance events, or if you have one, there's this guy doing that, or you go behind, like behind the wheel.
I mean, one thing I will say is particularly with the coverage of Le Mans Virtual, they were very good at including shots of drivers at their, you know, driving their rigs whilst obviously their cars were circulating. So you kind of got that, but I suppose the difference is when you're watching that quote unquote onboard camera, normally you're obviously seeing that real driver in that car, as opposed to, you know, looking, you can see that they're looking at something, but there's no environment around them. It's just their bedroom or whatever, you know, and I sort of get that. I just thought it was an interesting, sort of, well, is there really much difference? But yeah, I don't know. I think if you're flipping through the channels, as one does occasionally, if people still watch TV and don't just stream everything, and you happened across a motor race, and it happened to be of a game where the graphics were incredibly good, and you can hear the commentary, and you can hear the cars, and you can see the cars going around and stuff like that, and you've got all the usual graphics that you'd see on a race day broadcast, what I don't necessarily know that a casual glance, someone couldn't say, well, that's, I'm watching a real race here, I guess. I don't know.
I suppose it's changed. They know it's not real. You say it looks, it's very similar, but I suppose everyone, if they know then that it's sim racing, no one likes change. And there's an interesting model called the Kubler-Ross change model or curve, and it talks about the psychology behind people making a change and the mental states they go through. So if you think someone that's used to normal racing and you say now you go sim racing, it goes shock, so surprise or shock at the event, like no way. So you think about that, they go no ways, that doesn't really happen, and then they'll go into denial and they're like, yeah, they don't believe it, looking for evidence that it isn't true. Mm. Frustration sets in. I mean, this is probably extreme, depression, but I don't think anyone gets depressed. If you took away the normal racing and completely replaced it with sim racing, because that essentially is what it's probably going to be like in 30 to 40 years.
Maybe, yeah.
Potentially, if it's as successful as it can be, why wouldn't it? And you'd only have the purists left. All the money would chase where the people go. So if you've got enough people watching sim racing and not going to the Formula One, I mean, it'd be very hard for that to actually happen, because I think, like you say, that would, the Formula One would be selling an experience in person, which you can't replace with sim racing. And yeah, I think it would be interesting to see where it is in the long term. I think that's what you'll be experiencing now when you're trying to get people to understand about sim racing is, unless you're already on board and you're very keen, there's always going to be people that'll deny, and it takes time for it to come over.
Just like it said that if anyone has ever watched F1 esports, you definitely reach the depression stage. anyway, and somehow, the hour has flown by and it is time for us to end. On a very philosophical note, I might say as well. There we go. See, we can do deep and meaningful here at Simcast as well. We're not always frivolous nonsense on the UK show.
If you get me on, we can do deep and meaningful all the time. That's my
thing. There we go. See that, dear listener, you wanted Don back. He is back. Don, thank you ever so much for sitting alongside me today. It's always good to
to catch up.
Talk. Oh, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the learns. Peddlers, I got you.
I'm glad we got one thing out of it. Awesome.
There was loads more. 9/11 was a good one. That's a good learn.
Thank you so much for listening. We're gonna carry on with this off air. Speak to you in a couple of weeks when I shall have Peter Mackay from this very radio station joining us and RaceBot to talk about his experience at Daytona. See you in a couple of weeks, everyone. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.